Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
It is Thursday, August 18, 2022. This is episode 72 of the Human Hope Podcast. I got one question. Y'all ready for this? Here we go. Come on. What is good, Human Hope Familia? Welcome back to another episode of the Human Hope Podcast with your host, Carlos Enrique Whitaker Guzman Archibald Cabello, Carlos for short. And this one's special. Special with a capital P. You may be wondering, well, why is it special? Well, because I feel like the P, I feel like the second letter of an important word always gets left out. So we're just making the P in special. So it's special. It's a special episode. And the reason it's special for a few reasons. Number one, I'm still on my break from everything I need a break from. But through the magic of, I have this little handy dandy recorder called an H5 Zoom where I can just talk into it, which I'm doing right now. And then I can give this to a friend and they can go to the internet and upload, all the places that I've been avoiding for the last few weeks. And they can put the podcast up and I don't have to do it myself. So since I'm able to continue to avoid just being online and somebody else can do this for me, I am, and I did record a conversation almost live. I mean, this is unheard of the last few weeks. Everything has been pre-recorded, but this one I just recorded on my friend Leanne's phone. And then I'm recording the intro on my little H5 recorder. So it's like I'm still using a tape recorder. This is like so analog. This is great. So hopefully my buddy who is going to upload this to the internet will do it correctly and you will hear this tomorrow. If I give him all of the directions correctly, that means that you're listening to this right now. All of that to say, I actually recorded a conversation with my friend Leanne, but hold on, not just Leanne, with her incredible husband, D. Now, listen, probably one of the most downloaded episodes ever of the Human Hope Podcast was episode, oh my gosh, what episode was it? I wrote it down. Episode 19. Now, do you guys remember? Episode 19 of the Human Hope Podcast, you can rewind, was titled this: Amish love stories aren't supposed to be this scandalous. Okay. Now, let me read you what let me see if I have this down here, what the description of the podcast was. Leanne Miller met a strong, soft-spoken Amish young man when her father hired an Amish carpentry crew to fix their suburban home fireplace. 28 days later, they eloped. 30 years later, she sits down to tell us the story of how their 30-year love story started and how it's going. Now, listen, this was, I mean, y'all were gripped by the fact that this non-Amish woman named Leanne met a young Amish man and married him 28 days later and they eloped and he left the church. Like, y'all were so enthralled with it that when I knew that I was going to be up here in the middle of my little break, I was like, how can I still record a podcast with them without me being connected to the internet or technology or all the things I'm trying to avoid? Well, we figured out a way for it to happen. And if you're listening to this, then it happened. I am flabbergasted. Can I say that word and still be hip? You know what? I don't care if I'm hip no more. I'm flabbergasted at the fact that Daryl, the most soft-spoken one of the wisest, hardworking, loyal men I know said, yes, yeah, sure, Carlos, I'll have a conversation. You don't even know. Both Leanne and my jaw like hit the floor pretty hard. We lifted them back up, tried to act cool. Like, okay, let's not spook him. Let's not freak him out. And he did. And I'm telling you, if you loved the first episode about this Amish love story, you're going to love hearing from the man, the myth, the legend himself, Daryl Miller. Now, Daryl is a soft-spoken man. And when you ask Daryl a question, he doesn't like just answer right away like I would, like, oh, bam. He actually thinks about everything he says. So here's the thing. This conversation, I'm not actually going to edit it because there's some long pauses that when I ask Daryl a question, I think the producer in me would want to like edit it down, the awkward silence down, but I need you to feel the length of time that sometimes it took Daryl to even remotely want to answer a question. And then sometimes he didn't even want to answer it and he wouldn't. And so, you know, we dive into some more of their love story, what it looks like for someone as bubbly of a personality as Leanne to be married to somebody like Daryl that is just so soft-spoken and a man of few words. We talk about what he loved about the Amish culture when he grew up. We talk about what he's glad he has now that he didn't have growing up Amish. We talk about some of the strong things in the Amish culture that made him who he is. We talk about some of the things that maybe, maybe he's grateful that he left. And we just dive into, I asked Daryl some questions that I'm just so grateful he gifted us the opportunity to hear from him. So Leanne's in here, Daryl's in here, and I'm telling you, nobody's ever heard from this man like this before. So I feel honored that the Human Hope family are the ones that get to glean the nuggets of wisdom from Daryl and Leanne together. Together there, oh, it's just so marvelous. It's actually holy. It's sacred to watch them watch each other, to see him look at her, look back to me. It was really a holy moment around the table. And I'm grateful that Leanne was able to record it on her phone since I don't have one. And I'm just grateful for everybody that made this possible, that uploaded this for me. Because I had another podcast like in the hopper, and it's going to be great. I'm probably going to play it next week. But this just felt too good to not let you guys in on. And so this is what we're going to do. We're going to sit down with Daryl and Leanne at their kitchen table here in Worcester, Ohio. And we're going to dive a little bit deeper into their story, a lot deeper into Daryl's story. And we're going to allow Daryl to allow his soft-spoken wisdom to deliver some hope to us that maybe we didn't know that we needed. Friends, please, please, please show gratitude. He doesn't have Instagram, so you wouldn't know. Or he's not. I don't think he's on social media at all. But let Leanne know just how much you appreciate her husband, Daryl, sharing with us today with her. You're going to love this episode. Part two of Amish Love Stories Aren't Supposed to Be This Scandalous. Here we go. Airplane mode's on. Nobody's calling you. Yeah. Well, I'm sitting at the dinner table. Look at Daryl looking at that phone.
That's hilarious.
I'm in Worcester, and I've learned to say the name correctly, I feel like, because I feel like for 2 years of my life, I've called it Worcester, and everybody corrects me. Would you say that's correct, Leanne?
I say you can pronounce it any way you want, Carlos. We're just glad you're here. You can say Worcester or Worcester, but it is Worcester.
Okay, Daryl, is it Worcester or is it Worcester? And how did you grow up saying it?
Worcester.
Worcester. I feel like that's in between what I just said. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
He's got that little Pennsylvania Dutch accent.
Yeah, there. Worcester. Yeah, Worcester. And so when I think of it, I think of like, so I kind of say Worcester, you know?
Yeah.
I'm in Worcester, Ohio. I'm going to laugh every time I say it, with Dee and Leanne. And fortunately for all of us, this is part two of a podcast that came out over a year ago. Maybe the most popular podcast in like a 6 month window.
Wow.
And I think, what did I call it?
Something about an Amish scandal.
Yeah. I said, Amish love stories aren't supposed to be this scandalous.
Yes.
Part two. So my question, you know, my question is, after Leanne, I'll just ask you first, after you put the podcast out and people are listening to it, and again, it's the love story, you know, Dee and Leanne's love story, and you cried a couple times.
I did.
She cried. Can you believe she cried, Dee?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Does she cry a lot?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Misty-eyed. Yeah.
Right.
Has she always been the crier in the relationship?
Yes.
Do either of your boys? Let's go here. Which boy is who? Which boy is Dee and which boy is Lee?
They're a good combination of both of us, but I would say Joey, our youngest, is very emotionally charged like I am, and Teddy is more of a thinker, learner, a little more laid back, a little more quiet in his thought, you know, in the way he communicates. So, I would say our oldest leans more toward being like Daryl and Joey. Yeah. Daryl says the reason sometimes Joey scares me is because I'm looking in the mirror, I'm looking at myself.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's good. So back to the love story. And how long have you guys been married?
Going to be 31 years.
31 years. Now, here's a question. You can think about it, Daryl. You can think about it, Leanne. 33 years. I would say that you two...
31. It'll be 31.
Sorry, 31 years. I don't want to add two more years. You still got two more years to go, okay? I don't want to give you 2 years, okay? I want... Like, people would look at you, to me, and think, okay, they don't go together. Daryl is just stoic. Doesn't mix his words. Doesn't say words he doesn't mean. Leanne says a lot of words she doesn't mean. And so here's the first deep question for the speaking of love in general, and I'll actually answer it with me and Heather as well. Why is it, and why do you think that you two fit so well together? I'll let whoever wants to answer that first. Because I do believe like I think people it's shocking if they don't know Daryl and they don't know you. They just know one of you. People that know Daryl, people that know you, right?
Right.
People that probably know Daryl were probably like, I don't know how he does that Leanne woman. Like I don't know. She drives around town in a white convertible Beetle. I don't, you know, and so, but and people that know you that don't know Dee were probably like, I don't know how she does it. He just, you know, does he even respond to her the way that he wants it? So like how does 31 years of this love work?
Well, I would say for me, I'm drawn to Daryl even after 30 years. Yeah. I feel our chemistry and
that door was Daryl leaving. Yeah. He's left the podcast. Just kidding, go ahead.
I feel like I'm drawn to his steadiness, his quiet nature makes me feel very secure and very safe. And I feel like because I know him now so well after all these years, like I know that I can depend on him for everything and anything.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's why my personality, because my personality is not that. My personality is very, you know, very spontaneous. And like like today we were driving around. I'm like, I'm going to stop at the co-op.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to go to Cole. You know, I'm very where Terrell is he's just really steady and really just loyal, dependable. Yeah. And he has a nature or a way about him that's not me at all. And I think that I love that.
And you do. You love that.
Yeah, I do love that.
Yeah. So this isn't necessarily a story about why you love each other, but Daryl, take your time because I can edit this. But what is it about Leanne and you that works so well?
I don't know. I think if she would be like me, we wouldn't go anywhere or do anything. Or
would we be boring?
Probably.
That's good. That's true.
Yeah, I just like to be home, do things around home, and there's just a couple things I love to do, and that's usually fishing and hunting. But as far as going places, doing other things, I'm not really interested.
You're not into that.
No.
And so Leanne comes in,
and she makes me do those sometimes.
We have, you know, one thing about our relationship, and I think you would agree with this, Daryl, is that we allow for each other's independence. Mm-hmm. So Daryl says, go with your girlfriends to the beach. You know, go on a girlfriend's trip. I don't want to go. And I say, go with your really great friends.
Yeah.
Whitetail deer hunting or fishing. Like, go spend time with them.
Or canoeing across Canadian lakes while the wind is blowing 50 mile an hour in your face.
We've tried that.
But don't you think, honey, that we do that?
Yeah, we do. I know there's a lot of people that if you go on vacation, you have to go with your partner, which I think that should be done, but not all the time.
I love that. I think that's actually like revolutionary to
think. I think you have to give your partner freedom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's some that I feel don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would say that freedom has come for us, and I can trail that clear back to when your dad came and talked to us after we were married, the advice that he gave us.
Okay. Rewind sound. And so now we're rewinding back to 30 and a half years ago, uh-huh. Right after you're married. Uh-huh. What's your dad's name?
Andy.
Comes to your door. Because we eloped.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. For those that haven't listened, I would recommend you go back and listen to the first podcast. I will make sure to put what podcast episode it was at the end. but go back and listen. So you eloped, okay?
Yes.
We won't rehash that story.
Right.
But when you eloped, you come back and your dad shows up at the door.
Yeah. He was over at the neighbor's getting his horse shod.
Okay.
Not shot, shod.
Oh. I was like, man, this is the most Ohio episode of the Human Hope Podcast I've ever heard. Okay, so he was getting it shod, first of all, what does that mean?
Well, they take the shoes off, the iron shoes off, they trim the hooves and redress the shoes and put them back on.
Got it. Okay. So Andy was over, Andy Miller was over getting his horse shod.
At the neighbor's.
And he notices that you guys get back?
Well, the neighbor saw us get back and saw that we were home and told him. And so he came, just walked down the road.
And this was after the first meeting after you eloped?
Yes.
Okay, so what it knocks on the door, how's it go down?
Well, Daryl had taken the car to get it washed, and I was by myself.
Yeah.
So I look out the window. I look out like to the breezeway to the door, and I see my father-in-law, this big, long, white beard, very stoic, at the door. And I'm like, oh, snap, I can't not answer the door. I need to answer it. And he comes in and we sat and talked for a minute, and then Daryl came home.
Oh, so hold on. He's with you.
Yes.
This girl that elopes with her his son alone before Daryl comes home.
Yes. And I remember saying to him, I was just telling Daryl, I hope that you like me. I'm so embarrassed now saying that all these years later after knowing him. I'm like, I hope that you like me. And he said, oh, like you. We love you. He said, you're part of our family.
Oh, wait. I do feel like you cried at this point in the last one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If you want to hear the tears, go back to the other episode and hear that. But well, I think this goes back to what we were talking about before. What did he say? Like, what?
Well, I'll let Daryl say.
Yeah, Daryl. What did your dad say?
Gave us advice about marriage.
I'm not sure.
You don't remember?
Not really.
Yes, you do.
This is my favorite part of marriage conversations.
He said the two most important things.
Is trust. One was trust.
Uh-huh. And the other one was respect.
Okay.
He said to always love and respect one another, and that trust is, you know, earned, and it can be taken away quickly, and that to build trust. And I think that's why we have the freedom we have in our marriage, is because we really trust one another and we really respect one another. And, you know, I will say that both of us, when we talk about the opposite one to people or around people, like I think it's apparent that we do respect one another.
Yeah.
I'm not ever going to say anything disparaging about Daryl, to our kids or in front of people, because he has really earned my respect and my trust. Yeah.
Trust. And that trust takes a long time to build and a short time to
tear down.
Yeah, so he basically just said a few things about trust and respect, and I've never forgotten that, because I feel like those are things that are really instilled in Daryl because of how he was raised. Yeah. I mean, his parents taught, you know, they said those things, but they really showed him those things.
Yeah,
they lived that way.
Yeah. No, I love that. I mean, people could turn the podcast off right now, just the trust and respect piece. And it's just like, wow, do you have trust in your relationship? And if you don't, it's not going to last. It just isn't, you know, it's not going to last. And it does seem very cyclical to me, like the respect leads to trust, which leads to respect, which leads to trust, which leads to respect. It's this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's almost the same.
Yeah, they hold hands.
Yeah.
And then if you trust someone and you respect someone, you're automatically going to exercise love toward that person.
Yeah.
So people will tease me about packing Daryl's lunch bucket every night.
Uh-huh. You know, do. I let me go ahead and tell this. Like, every time I've been here many times, Daryl walks up the stairs, and as he's walking up, you say, okay, Daryl, you're good. In the fridge is going to be your this, and then at the this is going to be this, and then you I mean, because you may not go to bed till 2 a.m. sometimes.
Oh yeah, I'm night out.
Yeah, but while he's sleeping for 4 hours, at some point you get his lunch ready.
I do.
And in a world where, to be honest, there's such a need for to be individualistic and not take care of other people, just take care of yourself. Tell us a little bit about why you do that.
Well, I don't think it takes away from my womanhood or my confidence or my strength as a woman at all.
No.
I do it because I love, it's a way that I love him well.
Yeah.
It's a way that I exercise showing how much I love him, because I respect him and I trust him.
Yeah.
And I think that for me, I feel like we can say we love the people in our life, but I think to exercise that, like, how do you exercise that? How do you show, you know, how do you show those people in your life that you love them?
Yeah.
You know, like, for Daryl isn't super talkative, but one thing he does, like, when our boys come home, that he'll take their cars and he'll have them washed and he'll fill up their tanks, and he does things to show his love, trust, and respect for them. And I the lunch bucket is just and you know, if people tease me about it, I'll just say, you know, it has nothing to do with me being like the subservient woman, you know, in some kind of weak way. it actually is the opposite. It's the it's a way that I can love him well.
Daryl, first of all, this dog, I've never seen the dog want to play with anything. And right now we're recording the podcast and your dog Finn wants to be in on the podcast.
Yeah. If I do remote TV segments from the kitchen, he pulls the toys out. He's like, when to be a man? I'm like, where, what? He just wants his moment.
Yeah, that's fine. So that's him clicking around. Daryl, what's your lunch bucket for Leanne? What about that question? What's you? And again, I mean, I don't care. It could be giving her a wink, like you give her a wink every day. But what's your lunch bucket thing that you do for Leanne? Doesn't have to be every day, but what's something that you do that you know? Oh, she feels love.
I don't know. Probably clean the kitchen sometimes, or if she's doing cooking segments and I'm home or cooking. Not always, but sometimes I try and get the.
Did the dog just turn on the coffee machine?
What's happening?
How did the coffee machine just turn on?
Okay, I want to insert. I want to insert this.
Yeah.
Okay, what Leanne is about to insert, I can't believe that coffee machine did that, is incredible. Listen, you're going to want to hear the second half because the nuggets that Leanne and Daryl drop, and oh, don't you just love just the pace of speech and the breath that Daryl lives with? It's so rich. We need more of that. But before we get to that part of the conversation, I want to let you guys in on a couple of show partners. First, you guys know I love me some BetterHelp. BetterHelp is licensed online therapy. I love my BetterHelp therapist. Why? Because I can get a hold of him through text, email, voice call, video, whatever it is, whatever avenue I want to reach out and have conversations with, I can do it. I don't have to worry about showing up to a therapist's office and seeing somebody I know if I'm a little bit embarrassed, which you guys know I'm not, but I know some people may be. So BetterHelp can help you with that. Listen, if you're going to tune up any part of your life, finances, your physical health, why in the world would you leave out your emotional and mental health? BetterHelp is the way to do it. And because you are a Human Hope listener, I got good news for you. What is that good news? Well, listen, if you go to betterhelp.com/humanhope, that's betterhelp.com/humanhope, you get 10% off your first month, right? So your discount code is going to be applied right then and there. Friends, you need BetterHelp in your life. I promise you, they're going to give you exactly what your soul needs. The next partner this week is Indeed. And I love Indeed. I've fallen in love with just scrolling through Indeed, even after I have done my hires. Listen, what is Indeed? Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place, all in one single place. So instead of spending hours on all these multiple job sites searching for the candidates with the right skills, Indeed is a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. You get to find great talent faster through time-saving tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. That was actually my favorite part of the process. When you sponsor an ad on Indeed, you're 4.5 times more likely to get a hire according to Indeed data, right? And even better, Indeed's the only job site where you only pay for the applications that meet your must-have requirements, right? So listen, visit Indeed.com/humanhope and start hiring right now. Just go to Indeed.com/humanhope, Indeed.com/humanhope. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Part of your upbringing and part of the Amish culture even is it is hard for him to say something that would appear like he's bragging on himself.
Yeah.
So for him to even share that, it feels like huge because normally you wouldn't talk about yourself in a
non-humble way.
Yes, bragging or way. In a way that he would say things he did. I can list so many things he does for me.
Well, when I ask the question, yeah. What's that?
He feed the pigs. He say,
Oh, feed the pigs. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he'll feed the pigs, especially on Sunday mornings. He'll go out and feed the pigs. And yeah, he'll unload the dishwasher like without me even realizing it until he
And
goes.
When you're doing the cooking segments, D walks and when you're whatever, I don't know how that all works.
If she's cooking for a bunch of people, oh, yes.
Yes. Oh my goodness, yes.
She can make a mess in the kitchen.
You know,
Hold on. So she can make a mess in the kitchen. And so even if it's guests or whatever, you show her love by going in there.
Oh, he doesn't assume. Yes.
Why are you trying to take the words out of his mouth? He's got a few of them. So don't steal them from Daryl. And you feel loved.
Oh, he doesn't even say anything.
Uh-huh.
Like he just slides right in, starts putting the dishes in the dishwasher. And I tell people I couldn't do hospitality like we do hospitality in this house if it was not for Daryl helping me. I mean, and it's a kind of a behind the scenes helping, but the reason we can practice hospitality the way we do in our home is because of Daryl. I mean, with him helping.
It's awesome. Any other thoughts on that? No? Okay. Okay, so let's do this. This is called Amish Love Stories Aren't Supposed to Be This Scandalous, part two. Dun, dun, dun. And if you listen to part one, it's not scandalous at all. But I would love to...
It is a little bit.
Okay, maybe a little bit scandalous. Okay, maybe a lot scandalous. If my daughters are listening to this, it would be the scandal of your lives, okay? But I do want to lean into, you know... Daryl's Amish upbringing and your non-Amish upbringing. And, you know, what I love about just Daryl and even some of the friends you've introduced me to is that I have been able to grow in relationship with Amish in a way that's not sensationalized. Did I say that right? I think I did. Sensationalized. I don't know why I can't say that word right now.
Sensationalized.
Sensationalized. It's because I was saying sensationalized, and that's not a word. So, in a way, that's not sensationalized. Okay. So I've been able to to just spend time here,
right?
You know, over the years, and I'm like, oh, and so, you know, No religion, no family, no form of anything is perfect, right? No, nothing. The way I'm raising my kids isn't perfect. They're going to have issues because of the way that I've done some things. We all have those things. But there's also beauty in the way we were raised. There's beauty in everything. I really do believe there is. So what I would love to know, Daryl, is what... So you lived in with your parents until you were 21, 22. Okay. So you were, even though you may not have been all the way following the Amish kind of culture at that point, what are some things about the Amish growing up? Well, here this way, what are some things about growing up Amish that you truly appreciate? That you feel like was formational and are still things that you care about and that matter to you. What are some of the Amish things that you grew up with that formed you and that you're grateful for?
Are you talking about what the way it affects me now, or?
Let's say that. I like that clarification. What are things that make Daryl now that were instilled in you growing up Amish?
Well, the first thing I think is working, you know. Just get up in the morning and do your job and do it well, and It was, you know, always doing honesty at work. And always, you know, one thing, which we don't do it as much now, but their community is one thing they do well. And it's one thing I didn't miss after I was an Amish. And they're always helping each other, always together.
Yeah.
Always doing things, you know, as a community and as neighbors. And
yeah. Well, that was two things. First of all,
I went and introduced.
We can't speak English today. I don't know what the deal is. Sensationalized.
Sorry. I went to our neighbors, introduced ourselves to our neighbors, and she said, "We've lived here for 9 years on this road and around in this neighborhood. We've lived here 9 years. You're the first person to ever come and introduce yourself and tell us that if they ever needed anything, that we're right next door, and tell them their name, us tell them our names." And you know, I think that the Amish do that very well. They know their neighbors.
Yeah.
They don't even know that they not only know their neighbors, they know if their neighbor has needs. They know they know what's happening with their neighbors. It's a true practice.
Yeah, yeah. You said, Daryl, you said working hard and honest. The honest, hard work day after day after day is just not something that is I think people strive for anymore. I feel like because the word honest is what I really want to sit on for a second. Like, when you say honest, what do you mean by honest? What's he doing? Is he
drinking?
Okay, that's fine. He's done.
Like an honest day at work.
Yeah, what does that mean?
It's like you go to work and do the best you can do.
Yeah.
Not try and cut corners or push work on somebody else or just kind of lag around work. You go and you put effort in. You try and do the best you can do.
I love that. That is honest. And I think I think for people that are listening to this, I think we've forgotten the meaning when somebody says, because that's a saying, when somebody says, oh, an honest day at work for anyone that's listening to this, like, how can you, that doesn't mean you're not lying. I think we would take that and we would redefine that phrase as like, oh, an honest day at work is just being honest at work. No, it's actually being honest to yourself and your employer that you are going to do your best every single day.
And to the task at hand.
And not trying to go behind someone's back to do something, not try to get your name a little bit better than somebody else's name. You're there to do a thing, and you do that thing with integrity. And then the second thing you said is community. And you talked about how, growing up, that and that's something that maybe people don't do as well anymore. That outside the Amish, you know, the Amish world is. I mean, would you say, Leanne, that you would say the same thing?
Oh, I think outside Amish world, you know, the term self care is a big thing right now, uh-huh. And you know, I think that we have grown accustomed to being very selfish with our time,
yeah.
And in some ways, that's good if we're making our family our priority and we're doing things at home with our kids and, you know, we're making the front porch, you know, a front porch you want to sit on and enjoy your coffee. Those things are great. But I think that we have lost the art, the exercise, and the generosity of our time to give it to other people without the expectation that we're going to get something back for it.
That's good. Yeah, no, that's good. Okay.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Every single spring, that first day that I walk outside and I see that yellow dust all over my truck, I'm like, that is Satan's dandruff. It destroys me. I legitimately can't go outside for longer than 3 minutes because my eyes get swollen, my eyes get puffy, my nose gets congested, and I just simply can't breathe. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so that you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. When I started taking Claritin D about 2 months ago, I can finally get back outside and play pickleball again, which is what I love to do, but I couldn't do it because my allergies were so bad. Claritin D has legitimately allowed me to go outside again. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
Okay, so here's the opposite question. Ready? So the opposite question is what do you appreciate now that you are not Amish, that you're like, oh, you know what, but I'm just so grateful that I can do this now that you weren't able to do growing up Amish. Well, what are some things that you're like, yeah, this is better for me, this is definitely better for me? And then I'll let you answer that too.
Well, for me, it's probably vehicle.
Four wheels.
Vehicles and, I like the air conditioner.
Yeah.
Especially in the summertime.
Yes. Vehicle and air conditioning. I mean, those are like practical things that are right. Just, you know, I need people to hear this. The first two things you said, and I'm sure there could, if I gave Daryl 24 hours to think about anything, he's going to give me something. But in the 20 seconds that you thought about it, or even 10, like, you know, it wasn't, I love that the answer wasn't like this like deep, intrinsic thing that was wrong with the way you were raised. It was like, no, like, man, things are really good, especially if I could add a vehicle and air conditioning, right? Yeah. You know?
Right.
Yeah. I love that.
But, you know, then too, sometimes if you have vehicles, they might be going off doing other things and not helping their neighbor, not being neighborly or being together as much. I think that's one of the reasons they don't have vehicles, is so they're not always running off somewhere else and not helping each other.
Boom. I need everyone to feel the weight of that, because that I felt that way too, right? So it's like vehicle helpful. I get to travel somewhere else and a little farther to do the things I need to do in order to do whatever. But suddenly now there is a gap between me and the exact community that you said you miss. You know, there's always going to be a catch-22. There's always going to be, with every good thing, there's going to be something that you're going to have to surrender.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. I love that. Leanne, What are some, I don't think I even asked you this question, the older question, the question before this one. What are some things in the Amish that you wish more people in your life or maybe your own life could be implemented that you didn't grow up Amish? So what are things that you're like, man, if we could just have a little bit more of this?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's an intentionality with the Amish that is thought out. It's when you go to their house for, even if it's for cake and ice cream, you know, they have planned for you to be there. It's really something that I've tried to learn from and tried to exercise in our own home, you know, that I want people to feel like I've intentionally prepared for them to be here.
Hmm. And, you do a great job at that, by the way.
Yeah, and they model that well. I would also say it's a trait Daryl has. Daryl probably pauses a little longer than maybe some Amish people do, but he is really slow to speak. Like, he's quick to listen, slow to speak. So he really thinks about his words.
Yeah.
I think that is something that's true about a lot of Amish people, is that they really do think about what they're going to answer, what they're going to say before they say it. And mm-hmm. I think it's just a great practice.
And are you still close with your family? Mm-hmm. So, like, I need people to hear that too, again, because if you're just watching fake reality TV, like, you never were baptized into the Amish church,
no,
correct?
No, I wasn't.
You weren't ever baptized in there, and you're still close with your family. You still see them.
Yeah, I see them, well, probably not as much as I should, but I can go down anytime, stop in anytime I want.
They're not like, oh, here's the guy that eloped.
Yeah, there's the prodigal son. No, they actually... People are always very happy to see us.
I love that. I was going somewhere with that question.
And there's another, going back to the one question that you asked, is, you know, when you say something, you mean it. Mm. That's the way it is. You don't say something to make somebody else feel good.
Yeah. That's good. You know,
well, that's always the way it was growing up. Whatever dad or mom said, that's the way it was.
Yeah.
You didn't question it. And then after you got older and you spread out, and then, well, you said that this last week and now you don't want to honor it. What's going on?
Mm.
It's like,
say what you mean and mean what you say.
Yeah. That was something new for me.
Oh, that was a shocker for him.
Oh, really? When people outside the Amish community were like,
yeah,
would tell you one thing, but...
But then it changed and nobody said anything.
Or it wasn't honored.
It wasn't honored.
Yeah. Wow.
That was one thing I had to...
Yeah, that's good.
Learn kind of the hard way.
Yeah.
I also think, you know, I don't think this is off topic, but I feel like, you know, we... In non-Amish world, I mean, if we're talking about like English non-Amish culture, we say a lot. I say a lot. Like we use a lot of words. We use a lot of language.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that keeps me, I don't even want to use the word awe because that sounds cheesy, but it keeps me so... respectful of Daryl. And so I guess appreciative, I guess, is a good word. Maybe you can help me come up with a word once I tell you what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that Daryl means he does mean what he says.
Yeah.
So if he says that he's going to be there tomorrow at 7:00,
yeah,
he's going to be there at 10 till 7.
Yeah.
You know, if he says we are going to work on this project this weekend, we are going to work on that project this weekend.
Right.
He doesn't use a lot of words and not back them up.
Right.
He backs up everything he says.
Yeah.
And he also is somebody that's going to tell the truth. He's not going to make anything feel flowery or or exaggerate.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to say the fish was this big when it was actually, you know.
Yeah. Even hunting and fishing stories.
Yes. You know,
I mean, not even like an inch bigger.
you know, one of our friends said once, and I thought this was a very good observation. He said, I've sat in circles with Daryl where he could speak up and brag on himself, or he could speak up and really, really insert in conversations his expertise, which is, you know, anything woodworking or trim work or whatever. And he doesn't. He never does. I mean, he's very careful with his words. I don't know. It's just a very, that was a very new thing for me. Mm. And it's something that I treasure and I cherish, that he, is true to his word.
Yeah.
He's true to what he says.
You know, a lot of times less is more. I've spent, you know, the last few weeks, not really on my phone, around a lot of people that don't speak a lot, to be honest with you. Like I've been spending time with people that aren't like me, basically. And I have learned, oh my gosh, just the value of a word.
Right.
And the value of every sentence. Do you, Daryl, I wonder, this just came to me, this question, but before you say something, when you think, because I like to watch your eyes think when you think before you're going to answer a question or say something, are you thinking about the weight of everything you say? Does that make sense?
I mean, I try to. I want to make sure, you know, it's the right thing to say or truth and yeah, I always like to think about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of my friends, if I take a little bit of time to think about it, I can't hear.
They're trying to get you to say something faster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, no, listen, let
me think.
Yeah.
I'm thinking.
That's good.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if everyone in America just thought about what they were going to say before they said it? I'm talking to myself.
Yeah, you and know? The people that it impacts.
Yeah,
you know,
that our words impact
more than one person.
Yeah,
you know, and I think he thinks before he talks, and it's something that is incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, Leanne.
He will. So if I'm upset about something,
yeah.
So say somebody said something or did something, or I read something on Facebook that was ridiculous or whatever.
Right.
And I am like charged about it.
He's doing the little hand motion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk.
Yeah. I'm talking about it.
Talking and fussing.
Yeah. Talking and fussing. And I'll say, what do you think? And he will very patiently and very methodically say, well, you know, if you think about it from their perspective, and he'll give a different perspective or he'll give the, you know, if you think about it from.
Okay, Heather. Oh my gosh. That's what she does to me.
Yeah. If you think about it from there, and it's like, you know, when people say they talk you off a ledge or whatever, it's like he takes all of the energy that all the energy that I'm expending on, like being upset about something, and he brings it back to what's real.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, you know, we get so charged up with emotion that we can actually start making it a bigger thing than it actually is. Yeah. So he'll bring it back to actually the size that it is and say, you know, or he'll say, this is his favorite thing to say. You know what? It's not that big a deal. Mm. And that's on them and not on you. And if they want to say all that or they want to do all that, that's theirs.
Yeah.
It's not ours. And that has been so great for me. That's been.
You're a little emotional talking about it.
Well, it's just transforming for me because I think that we can get so wound up that we can become destructive with the things that we say.
Yeah.
And if we have somebody in our life that we love and respect and trust, that can bring us back to the size that it actually is. Like, you know, she might have just been having a bad day, or they might just be crazy people on Facebook that you need not worry about. You know, he brings it back to what it is, and then I can let it go.
Yeah, that's good. Daryl, what's barn raising? Well, I heard about, I hear about that all the time, like Amish barn raising. Like what does that mean?
Well, every once in a while, you know, we hear of a barn burning down because the hay got too hot or something. Uh-huh. So a couple hundred people get together and, well, they have one guy or somebody that cuts the timbers and sizes them.
Okay.
And then they get together one day and they raise the barn and put it together.
Like, how long will that take? Like, a week? 2 weeks?
No. If they have enough guys and they can get it up, get the roof on, the siding on in a day.
In a day? A day?
I think, yeah.
What?
I've never been in, at one.
Uh-huh.
I think they can raise it up in a day.
Wow. And I mean, that,
again, you should have the foundation in and the floor in.
Yep, yep.
And then just the big timbers so they set up and back them together.
And then that's one of those community things where if somebody's in need in the Amish community, it just doesn't matter. You help them.
Yeah.
You just help them.
So it was like the other day I asked, I think it was Monday, I asked my coworker what he did over the weekend, if he was working on his greenhouse, and said, I was going to, but my neighbor was cutting up trees that fell down from the storm, so I just went and helped him that day.
And is he Amish, your coworker?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. It's just what they do.
Yeah, so he had things to do at home, but his neighbor needed help, so he went and helped him.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Leanne, you're about to say something.
I think that Amish culture, and I think that this is instilled in a lot of families, that I don't feel that I was raised seeing this in the community I was raised in. And I was raised in Christian community specifically, but also even the greater community around me, is that there is a level of contentment. So Daryl will say, you know, if I say something about the rate at work, or that he should ask for a higher rate
because he's so skilled.
An artist.
Yeah.
And he'll say, oh no, I'm happy. I mean, I have enough. How much more do we need? We don't need, you know, and there's a level of contentment that is, I think, been even passed on to our boys, you know, that they've watched their dad, you know, just be content.
Wow. There's a word.
Yeah. And I think contentment, you know, we can throw that word out, but what does it actually, how's it translate? And for me, it translates like you are at peace with who you are and what you have, and you're not chasing after something that is fleeting or not real.
Yeah. It's like there's nothing wrong with dreams. There's nothing wrong with wanting to build a business. There's nothing wrong with, but at what point is enough?
Well, that point is if you have to sacrifice too much for your family and your community.
Yeah.
If you're always working or always off doing, trying to make more money.
Yeah. At that point, I mean, there it is. I mean, that seems like a very clear line. You know, it's just like, if you're working more than you're able to pour in your family, then it's probably too much.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there are, I would say there's Amish like that. But the majority aren't that way.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's going to be, you know, and again, speaking of, I know there's people that have to work three jobs in order to pay the bills in order to, like, yes, I know that there's situations where that has to happen, but it's, we're not talking here. I'm not talking about survival here, which I know a lot of us find ourselves in those situations where we have to survive. So we've got to do a lot of things. I'm speaking to the other side now. I'm talking about
But Carlos, you can have three jobs and still have contentment.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, if you're hustling and working three jobs because you are a single mom and you have to do it in order to pay the rent and take care of your children, you can still do that and have a sense of contentment within yourself.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's a gift.
Yes.
If you have that, that's a gift.
Yes, that contentment. And, you know, wanting your family to have contentment, wanting those around you to have contentment. You know, I do love that point, Daryl. And I love the idea of, gosh, you know, like what is the dream? Like the dream, I don't know, for me, like people ask me all the time, you know, okay, Carlos, like, when are you going to hire more people so that you can build a bigger brand and that you can, and I'm like, I just kind of like being able to hang out with my wife and kids and I have enough. Like it's enough. And sometimes enough is the dream, you know?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
We've lived both ways as far as like just feeling like we're in a hamster wheel with a couple businesses and just feeling very stretched and very stressed and very, you know, I tell people we have less now than we've ever had, but we have more than we've ever had.
Yeah.
And it's because we can sit on the front porch with coffee or, you know, we can have our Sunday, you know, where we just watch Life Below Zero and hunting shows and, you know, just relax. And and it's because we have decided that having several businesses wasn't for us.
Right.
I mean, we just didn't want to make those kind of sacrifices. And and I would say that that's something you were raised with.
Yeah. And I know the boys appreciated it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Once we cut back a little bit on the.
Yeah. Yeah. I know they did too. I just want to say thank you for even having this conversation, Daryl. Like, I know that this is not something that you're comfortable with. And so I respect you so much just as a man. Like, I've never even told you, but I just everything about who you are and how you are. Like, I learn a lot. And so you don't have to say a lot of words to be teaching people. So thank you for, thanks for saying yes. And then actually sitting here and doing it. Cause I asked you a couple hours ago and I was like, well, he didn't say no. So, and thank you, Leanne, for just everything.
Yeah,
you're just awesome. I just love you. Thanks for hosting me for a night here in Amish country. I've loved it. And now I'm going to close the podcast like I normally do. Here we go. And how I normally do is just weep because I'm so grateful to have friends like this, friends that I can look up to. And just not only the length of their marriage, the length of their relationship, but where it's at. And the fact that people can be so different, not only from each other, but from me, and I can learn from them. I'm just so grateful. If you guys wouldn't mind, head over to Leanne's Instagram and give her some love over there. Let Daryl know how much you appreciate it as well. That's Leanne Miller, LeanneMiller on Instagram. She's a beautiful soul. You guys are going to love her. Share the podcast with your friends. Let's go ahead and cue up a little Dr. Delight. That is more like it. And now I feel a little bit better about asking you guys to share the podcast. You guys know what to do. Let people know. Listen, I'm not able to share the podcast because I'm not on Instagram right now. So it is going to be up to you and you alone. The beat drops to share the podcast and let people know that this is one they should listen to. Email. I don't care. Fax your aunt Shelly. Fax her. Send her a telegram, whatever it is. Let her know to listen to this week's episode of the Human Hope Podcast. Part two of Amish love stories are not supposed to be this scandalous. Friends, love you so much. I will see you next week on another episode of the Human Hope Podcast. We'll be right back.